Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What incredible words. There are few moments like this in our lifetime. Many, if not most of us, I'm not going to get you to stand and declare your difference, but most of us will not have experienced a moment like this in our history. The Queen was the longest serving monarch in British history. In her first speech broadcast to the nation, when she took up the throne, she said these words. "Pray for me," she asked, "that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life." Well, I don't know if you know this, but God is in the business of answering prayer. And God certainly answered that prayer of the nation in that moment. The Queen served this country for 70 years, right up to the moment of her death. So in these days, almost as history, in some strange way, hits pause, it's an opportunity to reflect, and maybe reflect in particular on how the Queen's life and ministry pointed to the person of Jesus. We can do this because the Queen's faith in Jesus was the bedrock of her life. It wasn't a nice thought. It wasn't just a moral ideal. The Queen, it seems, from the way that she spoke, had a real living relationship with Jesus. And it fueled her reign and it fueled her vocation, her calling. In her Christmas message, she became much more, as she became wiser and older, and maybe as she didn't really care much what people thought of her as she aged, she naturally became more open about the abiding importance of her faith. In her Millennium Christmas message, she said this, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life." And so this morning, could it be an opportunity to be encouraged and inspired by the person of Christ as our framework for life? Paul writes to the Philippians, "It's a small church, nestled amongst the might and the brutality of the only superpower that existed in those days, the Roman Empire. And this small church that Paul wrote to, he wrote to them because they were arguing over big theological differences. Individuals had fallen out and they were holding resentment against one another for the stuff that had happened a long time ago in their church history. Many of them in this small church held strong differing opinions about styles of worship, styles of leadership, and more besides. There were arguments on issues of moral behavior and cultural politics. And so in some ways, not unlike our political and social culture today, people were becoming more polarized in this church. And Paul writes to them and urges them to look at the example of Jesus and not only to look, but believe in and live the example of Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, he says in verse 5. This week, we've heard countless tributes to the Queen. But one of the most common things we've heard is that she served. She served right up until her very last days. The Queen served this country. And whether you believe in monarchy or you think that's a good idea or not, You can't deny that the Queen gave her life for this country in her service. She had a truly servant heart, rooted in love of people and love of her country. And she was very much called to serve. That's what she felt she was called to do as the monarch. Certainly in the days of this early church that Paul writes to, and maybe even today, we might imagine royalty as power and might and wealth. But the Queen, not perfectly, of course, we're not idolizing the Queen today. Life wasn't always straightforward. She didn't always make the right decisions. But the Queen, not perfectly, of course, but fundamentally understood her royal status in the context of service. Service of others, taking her lead, of course, from King Jesus, who did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage, but rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Luke, when he writes the book of Acts, quotes Jesus. He says, these are words of Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than receive. The Apostle Luke heard Jesus say these words, it's more blessed to give than receive. And I think we see modeled in the lives of people who serve, but demonstrated wholly in Jesus, is that service doesn't take life, but it gives life. It allows life to flourish and spring into being. When we serve somebody else, we are giving them life. When we serve others, joy and life is released for them, but also in a strange way for us too. And for those of you that have served, even if it's hard, it can often be quite a life-giving thing. I don't know if you've noticed this, but as the Queen grew in maturity and wisdom, she seemed to have more joy and life, not less. We often, as the Queen grew, especially in her kind of autumn and winter years being our monarch, we discovered that she had this wonderful sense of humor, this joy that went along with her calling as the Queen. Could it be that the way of life, the way of Jesus is true? We are more happy, we are more blessed when we give our lives away than when we just take and receive. Economically, politically at the moment, dark clouds are looming. There is uncertainty and difficult times ahead. We've already alluded to that in our notices. In a time when it might be tempting to hold back, to hold on, to be concerned about what we might be getting, let's have the courage, maybe, as a church and as individuals who follow Jesus, to subvert the narrative and remember this example of serving and giving our lives away to something bigger, which is, of course, is impossible to do, until you choose to fix your eyes on Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In many ways, not in exactly the same way as Jesus, of course, but in many ways, we are called to take up a cross-shaped life. Not because we are called to misery and pain, but rather we know a deeper truth, that through the cross, death to ourselves leads to true life. It leads to resurrection life. As we lay down our lives, we take up Jesus' resurrection life. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, as Matthew's gospel puts it. We are invited into that kind of story. And it's good to be reminded of that, especially when there are so many other stories looming on the horizon, wanting to overshadow that story with their dark clouds. The other aspect of the Queen's life and ministry that's come out in recent days is her faithfulness. Faithfulness to Jesus and to the role which she took up for 70 years, humbly asking God to help her as she did so. Of course, she hasn't always got it right. But she has kept going, learning day by day to faithfully keep serving. Again, in a culture where it might be tempting to celebrate booster rockets and those who burn out rather than fade away, let's be reminded of the value of faithfulness. In what theologian and pastor Eugene Peterson so beautifully calls a long obedience in the same direction. The Queen had a long obedience in the same direction, and we are called to the same. The Queen reminds us of the value of faith-filled faithfulness, because that kind of life is impossible without the reliance of God's Spirit at work within us. And what's incredible, in spite of all her wealth and her privilege, even with her faith, the Queen was not immune to suffering and heartache. Because just like her, none of us are promised an easy life. That's what not being faithful isn't being promised an easy life. Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble, but he also says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And he overcame it not with wealth or force or might, but he overcame the world through servant-hearted love. A love that is on offer to each of us every day through his own death and resurrection. A love that is stronger than suffering and pain and even death. A love that is yours and is mine, given to us not through striving, not through earning, but as pure gift. Where we will one day have run the race marked out for us, and we will, like the Queen, I hope, hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, as the Queen parachutes into eternity, not with James Bond this time, but to see Jesus face to face, maybe it's an opportunity to remember the faithful covenant love that is ours today. Once shown to Noah in the form of a rainbow, and rather beautifully reminded to us as a rainbow appeared over Buckingham Palace. Noah endured dark days of uncertainty, but now ultimately and eternally shown to us through Jesus that love does conquer death. He defeated the dark clouds of evil and sin by showing the world that victory comes through sacrificial love. That's what life in the here and now and into eternity looks like. The difficulty and even death is overcome through sacrificial love. And not even the darkest cloud on the most difficult day can ever win against that kind of love. In a moment, we're going to come and receive the bread and the cup. This moment where we take in that reality and it metabolizes in our body so we can live the life that Jesus gives us as pure gift. We are invited into the royal courts of the King. We are told that we are co-heirs with Christ. So as the Queen lays down her crown at the feet of Jesus, we're invited to take bread and drink the cup so we can live the life that Jesus offers us to the full and with joy and faithfulness.